How the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the Democratic presidential race.
We're sort of in uncharted territory here, and I think all the campaigns are figuring out how to deal with this.
Plus, Iran faces the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, the Iranian government has really struggled to get a hold of this outbreak. The situation is very serious.
And more market shocks from the coronavirus. We'll have the latest. It's Friday, March 13th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. Before we take a deeper dive into those coronavirus stories, let's start with the latest headlines on the pandemic and other important news. Containment efforts are expanding in the U.S., impacting government, business, and people's lives. In Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court and other federal courts said they would close to the public indefinitely. There are also concerns about the possibility that President Trump has been exposed to the coronavirus after a Brazilian official who met with the president last weekend tested positive. The White House says the president had little interaction with the official and did not need to be tested. Meanwhile, state and local officials are banning large gatherings and sports leagues are suspending competitions. A ban on large gatherings shuttered Broadway theaters. Tourists in town for performances expressed disappointment but understanding of the new measures.
I got refunded immediately. They're very kind, very nice, and pretty sad themselves, I think.
Major League Baseball and the NHL joined the NBA in suspending games indefinitely. And the NCAA has canceled its college basketball tournaments. That means sports TV networks stand to take a big financial hit. And in Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he would isolate himself for 2 weeks after his wife tested positive. The U.S. has conducted airstrikes against an Iran-backed militia in Iraq in retaliation for the deaths of two Americans and a British service member earlier this week. U.S. officials say the strikes targeted weapons storage facilities associated with a Shiite militia group that has targeted American bases. And we report that federal authorities are trying to build a criminal case against a former Boeing pilot. FAA officials made statements saying Mark Faulkner failed to provide crucial details about the 737 MAX jet's flight control system years before two deadly crashes grounded the planes. A case could also lead to liability for Boeing. Faulkner's attorneys say he communicated honestly with the FAA. Boeing said it was investigating and would share its findings with authorities. The coronavirus pandemic has led to big changes for presidential candidates on the campaign trail. On Sunday, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden will take the debate stage inside an empty venue in Washington, D.C. The virus has also led to the cancellation of rallies and other campaign events. Joining me now from Washington with more details on how the virus has changed the dynamics of the 2020 election is Wall Street Journal reporter Tarini Party. The coronavirus pandemic has certainly changed a lot in a lot of different areas. And in the presidential campaign, it's going to be changing Sunday night's debate. It's going to be very different from those we've seen before. For one, there will be no audience. What will that look like in terms of setup and format?
We're already seeing a lot of changes to this Democratic debate for Sunday night. It got moved from Phoenix, Arizona to Washington, D.C. because the campaigns said they wanted to limit the risk of the coronavirus outbreak, and avoid cross-country travel. There will also be no live audience during this debate, which is different from what we've seen before. From the Democratic strategists we spoke to, they said this could be potentially a huge difference in the way that the candidates respond to questions. When you don't have people cheering and reacting to what you're saying, it feels a little different. One strategist we spoke to said it's kind of like watching a sitcom without the laugh track behind you. So it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for the candidates to get used to.
Right. You can certainly draw a lot of energy, particularly from a live audience. What do you think the implications are for each of those specific candidates?
I think for both the candidates, it'll be different because they have different goals heading into this debate. For someone like Joe Biden, who is close to securing the Democratic nomination, his goal here is going to be to get through this debate without misspeaking, without a gaffe, and to sort of keep the focus on President Trump. For Bernie Sanders, he is now trying to push his liberal agenda to see if he can get any concessions from Joe Biden or try to make the case for his more left-leaning policies on issues like climate change, student debt, income inequality. So he's going to be going into the debate with a different set of goals. And so kind of the variables of, you know, the lack of a live audience, the way the race has shifted, I think will be different for both those candidates.
And Tarini, another change for the candidates has been cancellation of events, campaign events, rallies, also some state conventions. How do you think that will affect their momentum moving forward?
We're sort of in uncharted territory here, and I think all the campaigns are figuring out how to deal with this. We're seeing large conferences, sporting events, basically everything getting canceled, and so it would be hard to have big rallies in some of these cities where local officials have, in some cases, advised candidates not to have events. So we're going to see Biden, Sanders, and Trump try to handle this situation, and we're already seeing Biden's campaign putting out a release for a virtual town hall in Illinois. So, you know, they're going to be potentially doing more of those rather than, visiting the different states that are voting on Tuesday and, interacting with voters in person there.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Tarini Pardee joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Tarini.
Thank you.
Now on to markets. Global stocks are on a roller coaster ride due to the coronavirus pandemic. Today is shaping up to be another hectic day on Wall Street. Our David Hadari puts things in context.
This coronavirus pandemic is having a seismic impact on global markets. Fears of a recession are now pretty firmly back on the table. And what will be in focus today for investors will be the market response to a raft of central bank action. There is now a coordinated effort between various global central banks to try and stave off the worst effects that this coronavirus is having on global commerce, global trade. Yesterday, the Trump administration and Congress got closer to an agreement on providing federal financial assistance to a lot of the citizens and companies in the US affected by the drop in economic activity.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk about the efforts to contain the coronavirus outbreak in Iran. Now we go to Iran, where thousands are infected with coronavirus and hundreds have died. Joining me now with more on Iran's containment efforts and how a crucial link to China may have played a role in the spread of the virus is Wall Street Journal reporter Suna Rasmussen. Suna, what do we know about how the coronavirus outbreak began and spread in Iran?
Iranian officials say that the source of the outbreak in Iran is likely either an Iranian businessman in the central city of Qom that traveled to China, or it's Chinese workers who worked in Qom. And Qom is interesting. It's a central city, a central religious city, is a seat of Shia Islamic learning in the center of Iran. And for that reason, it sees a lot of foreign travelers. There's pilgrims from all over the Middle East that visit Qom, but it's also an economic center and a political center. You have Iranians from all over the country that travel to or through Qom, and you have these Chinese workers and Chinese engineers that come to Qom to work on certain industrial projects that are funded by China and involve Chinese workers.
So, Suna, this city also speaks to a larger relationship between Iran and China, who continue to maintain open borders during the coronavirus. How has that fueled the spread of the virus, if it has?
So for a bit of context, we have to remember that Iran has been under very heavy American sanctions for over a year. They were imposed after the Trump administration withdrew from the 2015 nuclear deal back in 2018. And Iran has struggled to maintain trade links with other countries who fear secondary sanctions from the U.S. And it's had trouble getting foreign currency into the country because of banking sanctions. And Iran's oil trade, for example, has completely been diminished by these sanctions. And China is left as one of the only oil customers that Iran has left, and definitely its only sort of sizable oil customer. So China has chosen to maintain some oil imports from Iran, not necessarily because China needs Iranian oil, but as a political gesture. And Iran has tried to repay that gesture during the coronavirus outbreak in China, where China found itself increasingly isolated globally. Iran maintained trade ties and kept flying on a particular airline from Iran to China over the course of several weeks. So for Iran, China really is one of the only economic partners it has as it struggles under international sanctions and is very intent on keeping those relations intact.
How has that relationship potentially complicated efforts to contain coronavirus?
We don't know exactly how the virus is spread in Iran, but a lot of Iranians are criticizing this particular airline, Mahan Air, which continued to fly at least 40 trips since there was an Iranian flight ban put into place in early February. So a lot of Iranians are criticizing this airline for flying to four Chinese cities where there was a coronavirus outbreak. We don't know exactly what role these flights have played in spreading the virus, but Iran has suffered disproportionately from this virus if you compare to other countries in the region, which actually have weaker healthcare systems than Iran does. It's much more affected than, say, Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq, and it shares a border with all those countries. So when people look at why that's the case, a lot of Iranians blame these continued ties with China, not just flights, but also Chinese businessmen and Chinese engineers that continue to travel between China and Iran.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Suna Rasmussen. Suna, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you can keep up with all the latest developments on the coronavirus at WSJ.com, including how to protect yourself, plus travel and work from home tips. That's what's news for this Friday morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.